you know that? The culture there is, the ethics behind that are, sit back and be thoughtful with some of our highlighted interviews on Moncrief.
Barbara and Declan with us once again for So You Think You're Another. Good afternoon to you both.
Hello.
Are you well?
Yes,
hi,
good.
Okay, oh, Declan, you're nice and calm, which means you only had like 7 coffees.
I actually did have a coffee, but I'm also thrilled to be kind of compared to Mr. Bill, what's his head? You know, it's like...
You were aware of him.
I pay attention to the Catholic right wing. They're particular favourites of mine.
Yes, I would imagine. Because Declan was saying during the marriage referendum that Bill was a big supporter.
Yeah, Bill loves the game.
Of the death penalty. Anyway, first question is this. I live in rented accommodation with 2 other people, a guy and a girl. We all get on fairly well, but I have a problem with the guy. My problem is his personal hygiene isn't the best. Whenever he has the door of his bedroom open, I can get a really bad smell from his room. Now, I know that his room and that's his business, but he goes for a run in the evenings. It has happened a couple of times now that instead of going upstairs to his room for a shower, he sits down in the front room and the smell is really bad. It happened last night and I thought I would pass out. A couple of weeks ago he left his shoes in the kitchen, and when I came downstairs to have my breakfast, the smell was so bad in the kitchen that I actually could not stay to eat breakfast. I did say that to him and he apologised, and he hasn't left his shoes in the kitchen. I don't know what to do. It's a very awkward situation. I'm really not good with situations like this.
This is my absolute worst nightmare, and the longer I do this slot on the radio, the more I'm glad that I never, except for one brief period, I actually didn't have to share rented accommodation with people I didn't know. Because this to me, you know, if you get on a bus and somebody sits beside you who has a bad BO issue, or I got into a taxi recently and the taxi man was absolutely rancid. And when you get out, you feel like you're bringing the smell with you. You feel like you smell as well. So to have it in your home, like I'd be getting upset that my clothes would start to be picking up the pong off your man, and that the pong, which I know is just in his bedroom, is going to start to permeate out from under the door and out through the walls and into your bedroom and into your wardrobe. So
it's like this, a Stephen King novel you're describing there. That's
I could actually see it, you know, as smoke coming out and curling all around the flat, which is, and I'd be worried now that I'm going to start to smell, you know, that you get up and you have your shower and you put on your clean clothes, but you're wearing the smell from the apartment. The interesting thing about this is, what about the other flatmate? What about the girl? Have you spoken to her? Like, I'm assuming that she's also bothered by this issue. And I mean, there's no easy way to do this. You're going to have to tell him, like the way you did about the shoes in the kitchen, and you said it about the shoes in the kitchen, and he hasn't left his shoes in the kitchen ever since. Whatever about his bedroom, although that would really bother me. But certainly if he comes in from a run and he's extra stinky because he's now sweaty as well and plonks himself down on the sofa beside you, you're going to have to, I mean, there's no easy way to say it except for, listen, sunshine, you need to go and have a shower first before you come in and sit down.
Yeah, but the two of them have an intervention of sorts.
It takes a particular level of lack of self-awareness, though, to be kind of going for a run and then sweaty.
There's a name for that, as the man on the ad says, he's gone nose blind.
Nose blind, yeah. Spray him with a product similar to the one I was about to mention. It is a thing though, isn't it? You know, is it not like, do people not know, you go for a run, you're going to be a stinking mess. So don't be kind of, I mean, that's weird.
Yeah, and I know it's weird to say some men are smellier than other men. It's a testosterone thing. I mean, I think it's a physical fact.
Stop.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Stop.
I'm in a gym where... I am in a gym, believe it or not, but I am in a gym.
You're not now, you're in a studio. It's a radio studio.
You can't tell the difference.
It's not a martini. The gym I frequent, there is a particular dude who has just, like, you see him coming and then that smell of sweat is just rotten, and I don't know whether it's because he's wearing the same gear for the last century or whether, as Sean says, is there some kind of a thing because he's on steroids or whatever that he's producing a lot of whatever it is that makes the rank smell. But the fact of the matter is that he does, I wouldn't go over, tap on the shoulder and go, you know, you smell rank. But if he's in my house, which
that's a different thing.
I would definitely say something.
Well, that's it. I mean, you're paying rent and it is your home. I think you're entitled to have it a comfortable place. There's nothing more discomforting than sitting in a horrible smell. I think you're more than entitled to actually have a word with him and to actually even say, like, it has to improve or you can't continue living here. I mean, I would take a very hard line on that.
Because you're a smelly old
Yeah. And I mean, the smell in his bedroom is obviously coming from two things. The fact that he doesn't wash himself enough. He clearly doesn't wash his clothes enough. And his shoes probably stink as well.
He could do it opening the window of his bedroom.
So yeah,
as well.
But he also could do it maybe using the washing machine a little bit more and getting dirty clothes out there. There's nothing that stinks up a room as much as dirty clothes. And he obviously just needs a little bit of... I mean, maybe let's give him the benefit of the doubt. And let's say you're right, Declan. Let's say he has gone nose blind and he is not really aware of it. You know, so maybe by just gently saying to him, listen, George, you need to go and have a shower, or George, do you want to use the washing machine tonight? Like, you know, the washing machine's free if you want to put on a load of washing there, or remarks about springtime and getting the fresh air coming into your bedroom. Or,
well,
you know.
There's a few suggestions. Give the smelly flatmate a gift basket of shower gel and deodorant. You'll get the message soon enough. Hire a cleaner just for his room and bill him.
You'd have to pay the cleaner double.
Yeah. Put plug-ins in the hall to mask the smell.
No. Don't, see,
that's letting them off.
And that'll give you an awful headache as well.
Yeah. No. Ask him, God, do you get that smell in the hall? So odd. Is it in your room too? You might get the hint if it's him and get to cleaning him. He might go, no.
The other one that you could do is say, you know, I wonder, has a mouse or a rat died somewhere that we're not aware of? You know, and that maybe that would be the smell. You know, making an issue out of the smell and then not being able to find the source of it. And maybe but I think a direct confrontation is the only way to go here.
But I suppose the thing is, on the one hand, it's the running and stuff and saying you're a bit smelly and, you know, have a shower after that, and that's fine. But it seems like it's a more...
Pervasive
problem.
Because he's not washing
his
clothes.
Basic hygiene. Yeah.
But if he's not washing himself, he's clearly not washing his clothes. You know, I mean, I think it's something you either do or you don't.
Awareness. If you're the kind of person that's going to go for a run and then sit down in on the couch watching telly before you have a shower, you're just not living in a world where washing yourself is a priority.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to be told.
It's a house rule.
Yep.
You got to be clean. You got to not be smelly.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
I've been going out with my boyfriend for a year, and although we get on well and I make a lot of effort with his friends, we just have not clicked. They seem to really dislike me, and it is very uncomfortable whenever we meet up. I have talked to my boyfriend about it. He spoke with his friends, who all said things were fine, but both me and my boyfriend have agreed that they do not seem to have warmed to me at all, and it is not comfortable when we all go out together. I have tried bonding with them over shared interests and keep things light and friendly. It just does not seem to work.
Yeah, when I read this first, I kind of went, oh, the poor, I don't know if it's a girl or a boy, but I went, oh, the poor thing, you know, she's having a hard time. And then I actually kind of took a backseat and stepped away from that and went, actually, what this person's actually saying is, it would make their life so much better if you all would just like me. So, and because you don't like me, I'm a bit put out. I think that the fact of the matter is, you know, we've all been told since we were children that everybody's not going to like you. You can't make everybody like you. This person seems to be upset by the fact that they realise that that's actually true. I don't think that, you know, your boyfriend's friends like actually dislike you. They just probably just don't want to make you their best friend yet. You know, and maybe that what I would suggest the best course of action is not to invest her future happiness with her boyfriend in whether or not she gets along with her boyfriend's friends.
You see, but maybe the boyfriend does.
But then that's weird because you know, if you're going to decide who you want to go out based on what your friends think, then this girl's days are numbered anyway, and she's wasting her time.
Well, but you must have experienced this. When a couple gets together, you bring your friends, your husband brought his friends,
of course,
and then
yeah.
it's a kind of a, how do you intersect those things? And
yeah,
you know,
but it's a bit selfish to say, I want to make my life really convenient by having you all in the one room where I'm in the middle, and that's kind of
what I'm sure, who wouldn't want that?
Of course, that's what I'm saying. Because like, you know, if we could all make everybody like us, then I would have been on the stage accepting an Oscar last week.
Yeah.
I'd be the best paid person in this room, because that's not how it works. So what this woman needs to do is, again, I'm presuming that it's a woman, needs to just go, I'm going to take a backseat from this, because your relationships do evolve over time. You're totally right, Sean. You know, when myself and my husband got together years and years ago, we had totally two different groups of friends. I naturally liked my friends better than I liked his friends. That's normal.
God.
But over the years, I've gotten to know his friends much better. And now they're my friends. Mm. But it takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time.
Yeah.
So she's kind of pushing this thing a little bit. Oh, that'd be great, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of an annoying thing where it's like, we're a unit now. You have to like us as a unit. We're going to join the gang as a unit because I'm part of the gang now. And they're probably all eye rolling going, no, you're not, hon. You're not part of this gang.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I would agree with what you're saying. Is that I think she's overly sensitive about it, and I think the fact that she has said that she's really tried hard to bond with them over shared interests, she should cut that out. Do you know what I mean? You know, I mean, the fact that her boyfriend likes her should really be the beginning and the end of it. As you say, if his friends like her, it's a bonus, but they may not. And very often, the friends of your partner are naturally kind of maybe not as well disposed towards you as they should be, because perhaps, you know, you're taking their friend away out of the social scene, you know, moving him into a different area. Like when myself and my husband got together, he being English, I mean, his friends, I mean, I would be in very little doubt, thought I was the Wicked Witch of the West by 10, coming and literally also coercing him to move country, etc. So when we did meet up maybe twice a year when we were back in the UK, it was uncomfortable, and that's difficult, you know, because I had no common ground with them. There was very little commonality, and I did feel that they were highly suspicious of me. Probably because this is terrible. This is going to sound like such a stereotype, you know. But I think I curse too much. I talk too much. I was
most people are suspicious of you of that, Barbara.
Yeah, exactly. I was a bit of a boss, you know. And I think they all thought that I'd probably bullied my husband into coming to Ireland against perhaps his better judgment. But they've got over that now, and they've calmed down, and we all get on grand. So I suggest, as you said, she needs to just calm down, you know.
Yeah,
and also,
time.
What about her friends? She obviously has her bunch of friends as well. Like, their social life shouldn't be just geared around his friends. So there should be the two of them going out with her friends sometimes, and then building common friends, which may be a few of his and a few of hers and a few new friends together. But I think she's putting too much emphasis on getting on with his friends.
And I think if she puts up a bit of resistance to their, I don't know how mean they're being. I don't know how, you know, when she says it's clearly that they don't like me or whatever she said. If they're saying stuff to her, if they're actually being mean, then, you know, by just showing a little bit of resistance to that or standing up to them, she might gain.
But
a
it is hard because you'll always be the outsider. They have a whole load of shared history and shared stuff.
And you're always going to be
on the outside of that.
And it's a bit artificial, isn't it? You know, when the lovely wife is beside you, the conversation isn't the way it would be normally, the banter or whatever the word.
So that's just
kind
of, there's a lot of that's just natural, like, you know.
Just to warn you, this is a bit dark, but I really don't know what to do. I married my second husband 6 months ago. I have a teenage daughter from my previous marriage, and my new husband has a teenage son from his. We have all been living together for about 8 months. Thankfully, everything has been going very smoothly. However, I'm becoming increasingly concerned about just how close the two kids are becoming. They are both in their mid-teens, and obviously their hormones are very active. Last week, I caught them kissing in the sitting room. As you can imagine, I'm rather distressed about this and would like advice on how to proceed. I was so shocked when I caught them that I haven't said anything to either of them yet.
Oh God, this is a really awkward one. And I mean, the first thing I'd always say to anybody dealing with anything to do with teenagers, because I think it's really easy to panic, is not to panic and take a deep breath. And I think part of the problem is as well, I'm sure, when you get, you know, when you get together with a partner and there's children that have already existed prior to that relationship into the mix as well, you know, you have this idea that it's all going to be this blended kind of Brady Bunch kind of scenario. And that rarely, if ever, works. But then, but the fact that the two teenagers, the daughter and the son, who are not related, have found themselves attracted to each other is difficult, because obviously they're living in a situation is far more intimate than it would naturally be if they had just met at school or wherever. And that's, they've loads of opportunities to kind of do things that they wouldn't have normally. I suppose how you proceed depends on their age. You say they're mid-teens, I think, so I'm assuming they're about 15. And again, knowing what I know from the hard way from parenting teenagers, I would have a feeling that if you lay down the law and just be very hardline about it and go, this is not appropriate, this is not on, this is not to happen, end of story, that'll only make it seem way more exciting than it clearly already is for hormone ravaged teenagers. You haven't mentioned your husband or what his take on the situation is, or even if he's aware of it.
I suspect she hasn't told him.
That's an issue, because I think you both need to deal with this. So I think you need to discuss it with your husband, and then you both need to deal with it. And again, I guess, you know, the first thing is to, my instinct would be not to make it a huge big issue initially, would be to try and work out, how was this just a bit of messing that might never happen again, Or is this the start of a relationship that may, you know, last for a little while? And how you handle that? I mean, the problem is the fact that they're living together, if you like. And obviously the ideal thing is for it to be derailed fairly quickly. How you do that? I'm genuinely not sure.
It's a bit of a flummoxing one, all right. I suppose the first thing is that for the parents here, is this a situation where they're kind of just repulsed by what it is, or is it because they're concerned about the consequences of what will happen? Because, you know,
both.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, but for the kids, then they mightn't be mature enough to consider the consequences, the long term repercussions of them having a, you know, short term, long term failed relationship, whatever, and how that will impact the family dynamic. Unit as a whole. I keep doing hand gestures on radio.
Yeah, they're great. We got like jazz hands and back on all
radio
through.
For the deaf.
Yeah.
So I suppose like Barbara says, the chat with the kids is a bit. It's kind of uncomfortable anyway, so it's kind of mommy and daddy don't think that you should be kissing your half sister, whatever it is.
Yeah. They're not half now, they're
so from their point of view, it's all down to how the kids perceive the new arrangement as well. Do they see themselves as this blended family, or are they like, you know, I'm from another family, you're, you know, mum and our parents just happen to be together, you know? And that's kind of it's kind of strange and difficult. I think the only way to proceed is to actually talk it through with them, to say, what, like you say, what's going on here? Have you thought about what would happen if this was to continue?
Yeah,
it's not.
Yeah.
And, you know,
the other thing which I would say
to
your
friends will think you're weird.
Yeah, well, I think that's more important. Yeah. Like, because teenagers don't think 5 minutes in advance, max. Yeah. At tops. Past that, they haven't a clue what's going to happen. But I think the whole thing, they are stepsister and stepbrother. This is, this is more than ox.
Yeah.
This is totes ox.
Right.
Yeah. And perhaps that needs to be stressed to them, just how this is. Yeah, and if people knew, this is not Romeo and Juliet. This is
But then you've raging hormones, and if there's a serious physical attraction, you know, ox and totes ox and all the rest of it kind of goes out the window. The other thing I would suggest in this case is that preferably the two of them, the husband and the wife, have a chat maybe with a family therapist, just the two of them, as to how to handle this.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that's not the first time that this has happened, and I'm sure there might be some methods that might be employed here. Because the thing is, as you say, it's the long term. Like, if the relationship is allowed to develop a little bit, it is going to be very awkward down the line when it all falls apart, which
because it's highly unlikely that they're going to be together forever.
Exactly.
So that's the issue, really.
So you know, and it's but it's trying to kind of make them aware of that without laying down the law, because I find sometimes with teenagers that causes the reverse thing to happen that you want. so it's an awkward one, and I would suggest maybe a bit of professional advice would be a good idea.
Lots of people texting in to say stop it immediately, which obviously is a very
easier
obvious
said
thing
than
to
done.
Say.
Yeah.
On the subject of the friend who doesn't get on with her boyfriend's friends, Joe says, my mate got together with a girl who we all hated. We said it to him, which resulted in him ditching us completely and proposing to her. I see him down the town every now and again, and I feel sorry for him. He's still with that horrible woman, and now it's no one to hang out with other than her. My advice, leave well enough alone, says Joe. Okay. It's possible that they preferred their friend when he was single and maybe more crack, and they resent her as they feel she's the reason their friend has changed, and maybe they don't see him as often.
Which is why she should let him go out on his own with his friends and just show up occasionally, you know?
It's a two-step process. She should make friends with some really, really hot women and then bring them along the next time she meets his mates. After that, they will hope she's always out with the boyfriend. Okay,
I don't get the impression.
That just tells us something about that person who sent in the text.
Exactly.
With no hot friends, clearly.
Yeah, and I don't get the impression it's a whole load of lads. I get the impression it's a mixed group of friends, or I might be wrong.
Yeah. The boyfriend needs to tell his friends how much he likes you or loves you, and they need to cop on and support him, says Jack. No, in fairness, though, when he asked the friends said there was no problem.
There was no problem, yeah. No, I think she's overly sensitive about it.
Yeah. Or she just wants them to like her too much, and it's just a bit needy. And that's.
But there's an intimacy you're always going to have with your friends that you've known forever, that you maybe were in school with or were in college with, that your partner's never going to be able to catch
there's
up.
There's a shorthand
you know what I mean?
There, yeah. Marion says it's so tough when you don't get on with your partner's friends. It means your partner is always defending you, and ultimately that will get jaded and it will quickly fizzle out. Speaking from experience here, says Marion. Though you wouldn't be much of a friend, even if, you know, a good friend of yours has a new person in their life,
yeah,
and you're not crazy about them, you wouldn't say, "Oh God, I hate them." Because it's not your
decision. Your relationship. No, yeah, unless you're seriously worried about the person.
Yeah,
you know,
you think they're abusive or something.
They're abusive, yeah, or something. But other than that, there's no law that says you have to like your best friend's husband or wife or potential partner.
And sometimes they're right about you. Sometimes you are that tool that, you know, sometimes they are right that you need to just change or modify your behaviour in some way, you know, because different groups have different rules, they have different ways of being, and everybody doesn't act like they're, you know, on some American soap opera where they all kind of act really nice and have beautiful conversations. People are mean. I know that from experience.
Going back to the smelly flatmate, Penny says, I have four kids stroke young adults. Two of them gave strong body smells. One washes a lot, but still has a particular odour, which is not unpleasant. And the other doesn't wash overly, despite my pleas. He's 23. He needs a friend to tell him he is smelly, as he doesn't believe me. I have to still tell him to, for God's sake, take a shower. And he gets all offended. The other two boys, 18 and 25, have literally no body odour. Recently, I folded up all my 25-year-old's clothes from the laundry basket. I even sniffed his boxers and was satisfied that they were clean. A while later, he asked me why I had folded up his dirty clothes. Smelly people need to be told nicely by their friends, says Penny.
I think that is a bit like involved, hands on there, but I agree. Tell the smelly people.
Yeah, it is a hard one. I mean, it is. It is a very hard one to broach with somebody that you stink. You know, I mean, nobody wants to be told that you're smelly,
especially if it's like a natural stink.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, like going back to just reminding the people of Ireland that I actually do go to the gym. When I'm in the gym, twice today. When you're beside somebody who's really smelly, you actually do, like Barbara said, think that it's you. So maybe that's the way to take. Oh, is that me? Am I the smelly person?
Again. No, but I don't know what it is though. I mean, like, sometimes, like if you're like changing a nappy. And it's a particularly spectacular one and really stinky, then I'm smelling it for the rest of the day. Yeah. And I'm going, have I got a bit of poo on me someplace?
Yeah, you know, yeah.
It can linger.
And the problem with changing smelly nappies is that the likelihood is you have got a bit of poo on you somewhere.
Yeah, that's probably true. I have it most places now at the moment. Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much. We'll take a break back in a couple of minutes.
I was wondering what that smell was. No,
I can't. I gotta go.
More interviews to make you go on Moncrief weekdays from 2 p.m.